Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking with you here on Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
So things are probably going to get weird. Not weirder than they usually do on any regular day here on FST, but you never know. And at least today we have an excuse. So welcome to the show. A little bit later, we're going to welcome in Michael Clifford. We're going to do some NHL DFS. And then Ricky Sanders, some NBA DFS, is going to hit us in the third block with his selection for the night. But of course, news and notes lead the way.
Start with some football. We got a little bit of football.
I'm so excited to still talk about football because, Chris, these are the glory days, because in just a few weeks we're going to have no football to talk about. So we need to relish in these moments.
So sad.
It is sad.
Sealy's going to come next week and talk about his way too early 2017 NFL ranking. So we'll have a little bit of football.
Is he still a friend of the show? Haven't heard from him in a while. Jake just pops out of nowhere.
Yeah. We got to remind people we are live. We're going to talk a lot of DFS today, but we are live, and this show will air again on Fantasy Sports Network at 5 o'clock, and just so you know, we'll be keeping an eye on, like, last-minute news and injuries because, like, things are always so shaky in the NBA.
They're shifting.
So keep an eye on that if we do talk about some guys later on that are questionable tonight. But let's start with some football news, as you mentioned, Ashley. Malcolm Mitchell, there's some reports out of New England. Actually, it's an ex-Patriot.
Yeah, like, let's just preface this.
It's an ex-Patriot, Mr. Lombardi, who had said on Bill Simmons' podcast that he expects Malcolm Mitchell to be inactive this weekend. No, he was dealing with a knee injury, limited this week at practice, dealing with the knee injury, didn't play Week 17, obviously the Patriots had that bye week. I don't know. They don't really need him. There's no real reason to rush him back if he's not 100%. That just makes me like a little bit of Michael Floyd. I'm not feeling like a lot of people will stack Patriots if you're playing DFS. They may get Blunt in there if you think they're going to be up in the game.
Start running the ball. Heavily lean on Blunt
in the second half. But I feel like Edelman could get his, should get his, and I think Michael Floyd could be okay. He was really good in Week 17. He had a touchdown, which was a great second effort to get in the end zone, and a phenomenal block, one of the best of the year. Blocked somebody, and then Edelman just like ran up and had like an 80-yard touchdown. He crushed that one guy. It was good to see.
And
nice
I think Amendola's coming back, right? He has an ankle injury, so he'll be available as well. So all of a sudden, a Patriots team that had a shortage of receivers now has a surplus, and it's kind of tricky to figure out where they're going to go. Chris Hogan is a full go as
Chris Hogan.
I think regardless of the game script, and if you think Houston is going to be down by a bunch and the Patriots are going to run it, give it to Blunt, like Chris mentioned, I think you still want to isolate a piece of that offense. And we know Tom Brady is going to be clinical, I think. And their passing game is much stronger than the Houston Texans, although they kind of match each other in the ground game.
You feel like Brady will get his.
Brady always gets his. He always finds a way that Tom Brady makes it really easy to dislike him and Belichick.
Tom Brady living the dream.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's pretty close.
Thought about for a second, it's like, yeah, he's living a dream.
Jordy Nelson not living the dream. He's about to miss the divisional round of the Packers season. They ran the table, quote unquote. They've now won seven in a row, including their wild card game. But without him, I think the Packers are downplaying the impact that he has on the game. Sure, Randall Cobb went off. He had three touchdowns. He was amazing in their wild card game. However, Jordy Nelson is a big facet of this offense, and without him last season, it was the first time Aaron Rodgers failed to reach the top 10 in passing, and he wasn't even close. He was actually ranked 25th in passing. So this Jordy Nelson factor is actually a bigger deal than people are letting on. I don't know how you feel about it.
I agree with you 100%, and you're right. Rodgers struggled last season big time, and we thought Devontae Adams was going to be able to step up. We thought Randall Cobb was going to be able to step up. Neither of those guys stepped up. Nobody really did anything in that offense. Everyone was dropping balls, and now, Jordy Nelson had 14 touchdowns, the most and for wide receivers, and now they're going to be without him. So you got to key it. Like, Adams is going to have to show up, and so is Randall Cobb. And I don't think that Randall Cobb is going to be able to duplicate a performance like he did last week against the Giants.
It was a special performance.
I don't see like three touchdowns and over 100 yards from him. I do like Jared Cook in the DFS format. There's not a lot of tight ends that I'm leaning towards. I know Kelsey's pretty expensive, but I'm kind of thinking that I want to save my cash if I'm going to play. And Jared Cook is not a bad option. We see before some tight ends have some success against the Cowboys secondary. Jared Cook, I expect him to, honestly, I think this game's going to be a shootout. I think he could get about 8 to 10 targets, and that's big time for a guy who's $3,900 on DraftKings and $5,400 on FanDuel, which is near the bare minimum. So I like that, and I like the first-time touchdown prop, Cook, 18-1.
And all you need from your tight ends is one of those targets to break for extra yards. Not even necessarily a score. A score would obviously be nice to bolster those numbers. But in a four-game slate, almost every pick is defensible. And I want to know how you feel about Spencer Ware as a defensible play as a running back, Casey, taking on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been very, very stingy against the run lately, though. Only Isaiah Crowell in their last 8 games has managed to rush for more than 2.7 yards per carry. They've shut down people like McCoy. They've shut down people like Jay Ajayi. The Pittsburgh run defense has been very stout, but Spencer Ware is going to be a big part of this game script also, so I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, according to Football Outsiders, DVOA defense, they're one of the best in the league, and it's kind of shocking to some people, but you're right. Ajayi struggled against them. I'm not feeling Spencer Ware. I'm just not, and I know a lot of people in the office are like, what do you mean, Spencer Ware? You got to play this guy. I think from the midway point of this season, he's been very mediocre.
Yeah.
I know he suffered a concussion. I know he's dealing with rib injuries. As you saw the graphic earlier, he's practicing in full this week. There's no question he's going to play. I'd rather spend up on Zeke. I know Bell is expensive. I'm just confident in those two backs. LeGarrette Blount, as we mentioned, you know, in the second half of that football game, I think he's going to get a lot of play. I think they're going to lean on him heavily. And I'm not confident in Spencer Ware. I'm just not feeling it from him.
How do you feel about
Freeman? Freeman's so cheap.
I know. No one's even talking about
$5,900. There's Thomas Rawls is more expensive than him. We've seen one game from Thomas Rawls this year, and Freeman's getting no love. He's $5,900.
Would you rather go Freeman or Lamar Miller? I know that the Houston Texans are going to be down, but I feel like Miller's a big part of their game, and early on they could use him a lot.
He should touch the ball like.
But yeah, no one's
times.
Talking about Freeman.
Nobody's talking about
love.
Freeman. A lot of people are just more so looking at the fact that Matt Ryan has been so good this year, and he's throws touchdowns, all 3 or 4 touchdowns. 7 times this year, it's been at least 3 touchdowns for Matt Ryan. He may even be the MVP. He's favored. But like Freeman is a big part of that offense. Plus, he catches balls in the backfield. I think it's because Coleman's involved. It's that thing that we talked about all year, Ashley.
The running
Coleman,
back by
Freeman,
committee.
Which guy is it going to be?
Yeah.
But I trust Freeman.
Pivoting
a lot more
to the NHL.
NHL.
Tuukka Rask, he took a puck to his throat. He got blasted in
it?
The throat.
So scary.
Yes, I did. It looked terrible.
Yeah.
And it looked like as soon as he got hit, he went down. It looked like he was tapping out. He was trying to fling his glove off, but like I just thought of wrestling and UFC. He's like, no, I'm good. Chara was in front of him, I believe, called for some medical attention right away. It looked bad, but it also looks like he's going to be fine. He left the ice, did not return for medical evaluation, but there's been no complications or no serious injury reported.
Yeah, good news, because McIntyre's their backup and he cannot handle a full workload. So Tuukka Rask, good news if you own him. You're right, Ashley. The quote after the game, he said, like, I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
Claude Julien said he's considered day-to-day. I hadn't heard much from him. But yeah, I'm getting chills just actually thinking about it. Like, if you've ever had an injury and you just think about an injury, I don't know if it happens to you, but I get these chills. Like, he took the puck right off the neck.
It was a clear cut slap shot right to the throat. Like, it didn't get tipped. It didn't have an opportunity to slow down. It was just like, bang, bang, took him out like a sniper shot.
Yeah, some goalies back in the day, they used to wear those, you know, the cage here, the protector, like more so for skates. But, like, that does help you get the puck there. So he's going to be fine. And then Roman Josi, no really word on if he's going to be fine, but he took a dirty hit to the head yesterday, a shoulder to the head was what I thought, but he didn't really have the puck.
I watched it and I counted like Mississippi's. So it was Anton Bled, I believe, who hit him. And it was,
he cleared
the puck.
Dirty.
He's a rookie. He cleared the puck and it was full 2 seconds before he got absolutely hammered. Bled was ejected
from the
game.
You did Mississippi seconds?
Well, no, but it was like really slow, like 1, 2.
1 Mississippi.
2 Mississippi.
Yeah, it was a dirty hit. So maybe he's feeling like concussion-like symptoms. It's tough news for a team that's already missing, you know, James Neal, PK Subban. They've had troubles keeping the puck out of their net. Pekka Rinne didn't play last night. There's some issues going on in Nashville. Keep an eye on that situation. He's definitely not droppable.
Shout out Martin Saint-Louis. He's getting his number retired tonight, number 26. Giving guys under 6 feet hope for the future, night in and night out while he was with Tampa Bay. So congratulations to Martin Saint-Louis.
Yeah, what a stud. He's great.
He's really great.
Great career.
He owns
undrafted.
A lot of... he owns a lot of records with that franchise, so congratulations. Wanted to just throw that in there. But we're going to do some DFS coming up on the other side of the break. Michael Clifford joins us, NHL DFS. This is Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for some NHL DFS. We have 7 games on the ice tonight, and we're going to welcome in Michael Clifford of Project Roto to give us his picks and give us our best chance of winning in our DFS contest. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Happy New Year to you guys, and Happy New Year to the viewers.
Yeah, yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Yes, that as well.
Let's get lucky.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's do it. I want to start in goal. It's just always such an interesting topic. We'll get into some other games later that I think are going to be high scoring, and I think you probably feel that way too. But I'm looking at a matchup, the Islanders and the Panthers. Both teams kind of struggling to score goals. Thomas Greiss, 2 or fewer in 6 straight. This is the second half of the home and home where Luongo was pretty good. Coming back from an upper body injury, Michael, 28 saves, shutout against the Devils, and then only 29 of 30 shots he stopped against the Islanders in this first game. So one of those two goalies, you feeling any of those guys, or are you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, I really like Luongo here tonight. I mean, you always like the home favorite. When you're looking for a cash game goalie, that's kind of what you're kind of looking for, is the home favorite. You want to be able to get that W. You know, you want the 3DK points, the 12 points on FanDuel. But more than that is that, you know, with the injuries that the Panthers have had, they've started giving up a few more shots over the last month or so. Well, a little less than that, actually. They're giving up about 60 shot attempts per 60 minutes, which is more than they were giving up earlier in the season. You got to think the injuries are starting to factor in there. But that's actually not a bad thing for Luongo. You like the shot volume coming in to, you know, pump up that those DK points, those FD points. He's not that expensive. He's outside the top 5 goalies on FanDuel, and I think he's tied for 5th on DraftKings. You know, I just think he's in a good spot. He's been really, really, you know, he's been really good for the last 2.5 months. It's like a 926 save percentage since November 1st. He had kind of a slow start to the season, but, you know, really over the last 10 weeks or so, he's been outstanding. So, you know, home favorite, should face fair volume of shots. He's been playing really well for a while now. I really like Luongo's spot here tonight.
One thing, and you touched on a lot of shots against, one thing I've noticed with Luongo in his career is that the more rubber he faces, actually the better he is. He's just one of those goalies that they don't want to stay cold.
Because he has to pay attention. Yeah, he's just focused and always paying attention, which all goalies should be. But we've seen a few instances where goalies aren't getting some work, and then they face a shot and they kind of fall asleep on it, and it ends up being bad. Let's move to the other side of the ice then. We started with goalie, but I want to talk about scoring points. I want to talk about forwards that you have in your lineups tonight. Who are you focusing on?
Yeah, I think one guy that's really going to be hard to get away from up front on the wing is going to be Blake Wheeler here tonight. You look at his price on DraftKings, it's actually pretty cheap. He's only 6K. And if you look at the guys producing around his rate, like Johnny Gaudreau is actually producing less per game on DraftKings than Wheeler, but he's $1,200 more expensive. So relatively speaking, Wheeler's pretty cheap tonight. They're going into Arizona, and obviously Arizona's probably the best matchup in the NHL when you're looking for fantasy points, just because they're so abysmal defensively, both 5-on-5 and on the PK. And the last time Winnipeg went into Arizona, Oliver Ekman-Larsson was actually used quite often in a shutdown role against Mark Scheifele's line. Over 50% of his shifts were against Scheifele, whereas it was only about 20% of his shifts were against Blake Wheeler's line. So if that, you know, kind of maintains itself here tonight, that means, you know, Wheeler's going to get the depth matchups here against Arizona. And that line with Brian Little, Matthew Perreault, they've been dynamite together. So considering his price, considering his matchup, for my cash games, I think Blake Wheeler's just one of those wingers I can't get away from here tonight.
Yeah, and Arizona allowing almost 3.5 goals against over their last 5 games. So that's probably a good place to start.
And the most shots against per game in the NHL. Another team struggling, allowing a lot of shots. The Toronto Maple Leafs allowing 30.6, the 4th most. And Frederik Andersen has really struggled lately. He's allowed 17 goals in his last 4 games. The Rangers, some news. Rick Nash expected to return tonight. Slated play on the 3rd line with VC and Lindbergh. You got Grabner, Hayes together with Miller. You got Kreider, Stepan Zuccarello. There's a lot to like. I'm not even mentioning maybe one of my favorite names lately in hockey, Pavel Buchnevich. I got to say it like 10 times fast to actually get it going. But are you feeling any Rangers? Do you think this could be a high-scoring game, the Leafs in New York tonight?
Yeah, I really do. And I actually, you know, I kind of like both sides here tonight. As far as the Rangers go, I do like Kevin Hayes here. You know, if you look at his 5-on-5 numbers, he's been kind of lucky by shooting percentage. He's shooting about 18% of 5-on-5, which is, you know, incredible. I think he'd shot 12% or something like that coming into the season for his career. But if his assist rate is actually incredibly low, there's something called individual assist percentage, and it's the rate that you assist on goals scored on the ice. And it's about half of his career norm. Now, he's obviously had a short career. This is only his third season. But less than half what he had established over his first 2 years seems awfully low to me. So even if he does regress a little bit in the goal scoring, he, you know, should progress a little bit in the assists. So you don't think it's going to balance out evenly, because obviously goals are worth more than assists in fantasy. But considering his price, he's pretty cheap on FanDuel. He's only 5,400. So if you're looking for a mid-price center, Kevin Hayes is it. Now, for the Toronto side, a lot of attention is obviously going to be paid to the Austin Matthews line in DFS from the DFS players. You know, just before their break, they had a game where Austin Matthews had pretty much triple the ownership of anybody on Mitch Marner's line. So for that reason, I really like Marner here tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a rookie. He's on pace for 20 goals and 60 points. They should avoid the Derek Stepan line at 5-on-5 a fair amount, which is what you're looking for, because that Stepan line has been pretty good two ways for most of the season, or at least since they've been put together. So you want to avoid that line, thinking that line's going to get matched up against Matthews and maybe a little bit against Kadri. So that should allow Marner, Bozak, and Van Riemsdyk, you know, some better matchups against the Rangers. The Rangers are allowing over 10 scoring chances per 60 minutes. Over the last month, you got to think the injuries factored in a little bit here, but you know what Nash and Buchnevich are going to look like in their first game back, who knows. So considering Marner's under 6,000 on DK, he's another winger that I like that's in that mid-price range.
No worries after a bye week. I know there's mixed feelings on the actual bye week, but they're not allowed to practice, right? Like the Toronto Maple Leafs did get a practice in because their game fell on the day right after their bye week, but you're not worried about any, I guess, slow starts from the Leafs then?
Well, kind of, yes. Because we've seen it from teams already. You know, Ottawa, I don't think they scored. It was either them or the Islanders. One or the other didn't score coming out in the first game out of the bye. The other team only had one. Pittsburgh looked fine. Obviously, Colorado looked dreadful last night. But Colorado always looks dreadful. So, you know, what else can you expect there? So there is a little bit of concern worrying about the bye. But, you know, on one side you have one team that's coming off, and so is the other. So for me, it kind of cancels each other out, and I'm just hoping that, you know, it's kind of sloppy defensively, because that's going to be fantasy gold.
All right, I like it. Fantasy gold always from you, Michael Clifford. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again really soon, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Enjoy the hockey. Do you want to throw out a defender's name?
I know we like Justin Falk, and I like him a lot too. 36 shots on goal in his last 10 games. Mm-hmm. Buffalo on a back-to-back, played last night without Robin Lehner, so they're going to their third string at Allmark tonight. So I like the Hurricanes a lot.
All right, Falk.
Yeah.
Falk it. Falk Let's it. Go. We're going to move on to NBA DFS on the other side of this break. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Time to talk some NBA DFS. There are 9 games on the hardwood tonight, and we're going to welcome in Ricky Sanders because he knows what's up, and we're going to pick his brain a little bit on DFS plays that are going to make you successful tonight. Hello, Ricky.
How's it going?
Very good.
It's already changing for the night, so it's going to be interesting.
I love the fantasy draft in the background there. What has already changed? KCP, you know, I was going to start with the studs, but I was going to start with him.
Yeah.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope not playing tonight. Does that change things up for you? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at this slate as an all mid-tier type deal, and then this news just came out for Caldwell-Pope, and I look back at that last game. He left 4 minutes into the game, so, you know, there's plenty of sample size here, but I started from the second half, and Stanley Johnson played a pretty interesting little stint. I mean, he started the second half and didn't leave until 3:37 left in the game, so it's pretty clear who the replacement is here. I mean, Stanley Johnson, minimum price against Utah. The matchup's definitely not ideal, but again, minimum price. So if you were, you know, thinking Westbrook and Harden were going to be difficult to fit, I think I definitely prefer Westbrook of the two. They're not so hard to fit anymore.
Yeah, well, that's where we were going to go. I mean, that's what I love so much about DFS basketball is sometimes with these injuries, some of these low-priced guys, as you mentioned.
You love injuries?
Pop up.
What's wrong with you?
I know. I always say it the wrong way, I guess. She always takes it the wrong way. But I like some of these lower-priced guys. You're going to get an opportunity. It allows you to do Westbrook and Harden or one of the two like you mentioned. Well, anybody else from the point guard position that you're feeling maybe a little bit cheaper, though?
It's okay. I won't accuse you of being a sadist here.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Some other guys that I like besides them, and ones that I actually would try and pair with them. Kyle Lowry is the first name that comes to mind with me. I think people don't take into account this matchup with the Nets enough. I kind of was screaming from the top of the mountains yesterday that even a guy like Tyreke Evans on a minutes limit, I mean, this Nets team allows the most fantasy points by a large margin to their opponents. I know this one is projected to be a blowout, and that's kind of scary. But the Nets are first in pace. They allow the most steals and blocks to opponents. And I look back, and Kyle Lowry played 35 minutes in their team's last blowout against the Magic, including 4 minutes into the fourth quarter. I mean, he's one of the minutes leaders in the NBA. So if you're worried about people's minutes getting cut, I think it's DeRozan and Carroll. But Kyle Lowry is definitely one of the obvious pivots for me, and one that I think you can fit next to him.
It's one of the strangest narratives in the Toronto Raptors landscape that Kyle Lowry just plays so much, and as you mentioned, in blowouts, and it's something that's consistently happened. It's not even a question. He is going to be on the floor much longer than many people think that he needs to be. I like where you're coming from for the point guard position, but let's talk about forwards a little bit. I don't know how you feel about LeBron James tonight. He's under $10,000, which is crazy to me. He continues to put up big games.
And the Cavs struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with LeBron James. If I were paying up, again, I like the Harden Westbrook, but I've got a guy in the mid-tier that really stands out to me, even above LeBron James, because I'm looking at a trend here with Paul Millsap against the Celtics. I mean, look at these bigs numbers, the last few. Derek Favors put up 12, 6, and 7 against them, which is 29.5 DraftKings points. Ilyasova, 22 and 3, which is 36. Anthony Davis went for 36 and 15 against him, so he was over 60 fantasy points. And Markieff Morris went for 14, 9, and 4, which is 35. So those are the opponents, if you look back at the schedule. And the one outlier was the Raptors. And you look at Nogera, who was, if that's how you pronounce it, I'm always bad with those, 7, 3, and 2 at minimum price. So he was over 6 times, and then that was the Jonas Valanciunas 23-rebound game. So bigs against Boston, you just have to use, especially power forwards. I mean, 27th in defensive efficiency, and you look at Millsap, one of his skills is the steals. They've allowed the second most steals, so Paul Millsap is a guy I think you got to lock and load. I mean, this is getting pretty ridiculous, the sample size against the Celtics.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, we were talking about in the office, Gary and Thorne, a host of the rotation, loves his Raptors, and talking about Valanciunas being able to have such a nice game. He's like, listen, nobody can rebound in Boston.
Yeah.
It's certainly a concern. Is there any other bigs? I know we talked a lot on this show, Ashley. We've talked a lot about Zach Randolph since he's been back.
Yep.
He was low-priced. He was even available in season-long formats. Even I know at some points he was coming off the bench, but he seems to give decent value for his price.
Yeah, I like Randolph and Gasol, and people are going to call me crazy for that because they have a bit of a negative correlation, which makes sense, right? When Gasol's grabbing rebounds, Randolph isn't. When they're throwing the ball in the post to Randolph, you know, Marc Gasol's not scoring. But I think this is a matchup where Mike Conley draws Patrick Beverley, and I'm looking at the over-unders of the night. This is the second highest, which is, you know, kind of strange for a Grizzly game, but it's because the Rockets are fourth in pace, and Memphis is 28th, so, you know, this is a game where they clearly think that they're going to have to play the Rockets' pace in order to win, and the Rockets are way down. I think they're second to last in terms of post-up defense. Both these guys work out of the post, so I think if Conley's going to be, you know, frustrated, and I think he is, he's been held to around 30 fantasy points in most of his meetings against Patrick Beverley, I think they're going to need the offense of both Randolph and Gasol in order to succeed.
Mike Connolly needs to just be thankful that he's able to play. Broke his face, broke his back, still in all-star contention. We got to get out of here, Ricky, but thank you so much for your input, and we hope to talk to you again really soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Enjoy your Friday night. Enjoy the ball. Have a great weekend.
So Westbrook Harden. I prefer Harden. He's cheaper, and people overestimate the impact that Memphis is going to have on him. You heard it here first.
I'll agree with you.
I was like, are you just not going to say anything? Bye.